What'd you think of the way that the team kind of rallied around the fact that Luka didn't have his best in the second half offensively? And, you know, whether it was Jalen or Dwight Powell or Timmy again, they all, Dodo, where would this thing be without him playing at this level the last 2 months?
It doesn't make sense. It almost looks like he's traded places with somebody else in their bodies. Like, I really like what he's represented, you know, as a guy who was very defense-only type touted guy out of Florida. And they worked with him and developed him, and he's worked his tail off. Let's not act like they turned him into this. He did a lot of the heavy lifting. And for him now to be one of the guys that you most want to shoot a three.
Dude, every time he gets it, I'm like, okay. Whereas 2 months ago, I'm thinking, right?
The improvement of his outside shot and the confidence, the fact that he wants it and he wants to fire it the moment he gets it. There's not the slightest hesitation. I would say Maxey is a similar study, but Maxey, I guess, always looked like he had a better shooting stroke. For Dorian to come along like this is crazy. And so as I'm watching that game last night, yes, a lot of it is – Luka has to save us again. And then when he doesn't have it, mid-third quarter, you're starting to be like, man, this is ominous. Kyrie is playing out of his mind. He's going to do whatever he wants tonight.
They both started off like a big bucket of dung in the third quarter. They were like 1 for 2 for 22 combined or something.
Yeah, and so thankfully Brooklyn was allowing the Mavs to sort out their offense. But you know, the general thought of the KP absences is that if you do it right, and clearly we saw a football team that could not overcome absences last year and it all fell apart. But if you cannot fall apart, if you can, you know, find a way to make players 4 through 10 really successful when he's gone, well, then the sum total when you're whole again should really include a lot of players who have the confidence that I want this shot. I don't want to just watch Luka play. I want to contribute. And when Luka and KP are doing their thing, if you have Hardaway stepping up certain nights, Dorian other nights, Jalen other nights, Dwight Powell's been very good. Heck, we've seen Trey Burke. We've seen Josh Green find a role. Josh Richardson. I mean, you're starting to see organic growth from the roster in general that says it's been worth it to let this core develop together. You know, like last week or the week before, I was referencing Tim Cato's piece, which was at the time, you know, the team's struggling. And at the time, it's like, yeah, what's the deal with that? His point was, since the day of the KP trade, this is largely the exact same rotation and core, with the exception of Seth Curry out, Josh Richardson in. Otherwise, it's the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the negative conclusion to draw would be, man, they're wasting these key years. How come they're not doing more? How can they leave a roster that's not good enough together when it's clearly not good enough? And now, nights like this, nights like that Lakers win we were at where KP went down and they would lose that game for a lot of reasons, a lot of times. But guys, you know, they weren't going to lose that game. They weren't going to lose the next game. Nights like this, you're like, you know what? Leaving them together showed and demonstrated a little patience for development and for just the organic maturity of the process, right? And so when you see so many guys who are just flat out better than they were in January of 2019, well, then you can roll it positive that they've allowed these guys to grow together as a core, and now they look far more resolved and steely in the eyes of adversity. When Luka's giving them nothing and KP's in street clothes, how are we going to win a game against one of the best teams in the NBA?
I think it's also, if you look at it from, all right, we're getting ready to go into the playoffs and we don't know what we're getting out of KP. And I think the general consensus next door is, okay, Like, you know, now those guys know their roles well enough to know what they each have to do individually when KP's not in, to where, let's face it, KP's out, okay. It doesn't bother me. I want him there, obviously. Everybody wants him there.
But
it's not
so
like
used to it.
Think about if he would have played, 70 games this year and we're two games from the playoffs and he strains his back and you're like, oh my God, this guy has been the bedrock of this team almost. He's played every night. Well, guys like this that are in and out of the lineup at all times, you get used to it.
Right.
And when they do go down again,
you're not afraid.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
Because they've gotten to where they are by and large without him.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? It's way different than it was in the bubble. Because in the bubble, let's say game five. So I think game four is when Luka hit the shot. What game did KP go out?
Three?
I think so. Okay, so game five. The Mavericks got stomped.
Yeah.
154-111.
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, anyway, the lineup that day, Dorian, Hardaway, Maxey, Luka, and Trey Burke, those are the starters. Now the backups coming off the bench, Seth, DeLon Wright, Boban, and Kid Gilchrist with a little Justin Jackson.
Yikes.
Yikes indeed. So we know Dwight Powell unavailable.
Mm-hmm. Jalen was unavailable.
Willie Cauley-Stein opted out.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson still hurt. So you start going down the list, and you're like, this is a way better team than it was against the Clippers. Now, I'm not saying I want the Clippers, and the Clippers are in big trouble, but the Mavericks are improved from that Clippers series just by virtue of their rotation is filled with better options, so that now, as you just said, they are so used to playing without KP that I don't know that there is a sense of dread, like we have no chance anymore without him. Of course it improves things, but there is a positive if you look hard enough at that guy being unavailable so much, and that is when you have Dwight, when you have Cauley-Stein, now Boban is still there, but you don't have to play him 20 minutes because there's literally nobody else over 6'8 on the roster.
Boban's turned into JJ in the fact of when you're down in the first quarter by 22 or whatever and you just need something. Remember they would just stick JJ in there and hope for energy?
Right.
Boban is now that guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of how they use him. But, you talked about like DeLon Wright. Josh Richardson is kind of what they envisioned DeLon Wright becoming. Josh Richardson is, DeLon looked really good against the Mavericks in those last couple of games with Sacramento. But Josh Richardson is twice the player DeLon Wright is.
Easily.
Yeah. And you're right. The roster is vastly improved from last year. So we'll see. But even
last night, they have those three guys, Hardaway, Finney-Smith, and Richardson, who are all, 6'6 to 6'8. Long 3-and-D defenders who can hit open shots. And now you put those three with Luka and a big. It could be Dwight, could be Maxey, could be KP, could be Cauley-Stein. They got four options there. Now you can play two of them together and drop one of those wings. But the point is there's flexibility in this roster that was not there in the bubble by a mile. And that makes them a way tougher opponent over a 7-game series.
Yeah,
that's why I don't think there's – last year in the bubble, given the situation, especially once KP went down, it was, guys, just like the Stars right now, just show me some fight and everything else is cool. It's been a fun season. You got to this point. You gave us that Luka moment. Now just freaking go out on your shields and we're all proud of you. This year it isn't that. This year this team can punch somebody in the face and over 2 weeks – I don't think you're going to want to play the Mavs. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be favored, but I don't think anybody is saying, man, let's figure out how to get that Dallas team instead of the Lakers or Portland. Dude, you better be careful.
Nobody
the Mavs
wants to
will
play,
kick your butt.
Nobody wants to play them a team with a player like Luka. Nobody does. He's a nightmare. That guy is He's insane, and he gives you so many different problems from so many different angles.
Hardaway can go win a game on you.
Oh, yeah.
There is a KP game to be had, and we're not even talking about guys like Brunson or J.J. Redick or guys, you know, who can show up and shoot you through a game.
So now they are a full game up on the world champion Los Angeles Lakers, who lost again last night, got clubbed. And they got to go again tonight. I think is tonight Portland.
Tonight is Portland.
So that is
so somebody's going to lose that game.
Yeah, there is your big. I think you got to be rooting for the Lakers tonight. Although I don't give them much of a chance to win, because Portland does hold the tiebreaker against Dallas.
Every time you look up, though, Portland's losing.
Well, they won three in a row. They've won three in a row, I guess now. But, yeah, they had a bad stretch for sure.
In a weird way, you might actually want the Lakers to win tonight.
Yes, I think you do, just to stave off Portland if they get hot.
But that's no fun, so screw the Lakers.
Man, watching the Clippers play, too, I mean, it was like a little gnat on their ass in the first quarter. You know, it was just, okay, we're up 20, like 7 minutes into the game, and that was just, then you just kind of coasted the rest of the way.
That's when it was bedtime.
Yeah. Clippers are good. Clippers can be incredibly scary.
Did you know Boogie Cousins was there?
I didn't know. I was like, Boogie Cousins?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. No, I did not. In fact, I thought I saw him on the Lakers bench when they rolled through town. I'm like, no, that's not Boogie. That's a bad idea on my part.
It is funny how all these dudes, the buyout guys, or just guys that you don't think of, end up on all these elite teams.
Just vagabonds looking for title runs.
Yes, it's unreal. So, big win, though, man. I don't know where you want to stack it, but it was a really big win. Now, here comes the tough part, because you got Cleveland tonight and Cleveland on Sunday. Please don't. It's Cleveland. You've beaten them like 50 times in a row. You're beating them by like a drum. Please don't blow this by this nice run that you're on by losing to them. This is also,
don't turn them into the kings of the East.
Yes. This is also, and I couldn't believe this when I read this, this is the first time all year the Mavs have had a 10-game stretch going 8-2. First time all year. Their best 10-game stretch of the year. So
let's go.
Right? Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's have some fun.
We're 1 week from the playoffs, or at least from the play-in. So will be right on us, too. I'm not sure the official final day of the season, but do you know when play-in is? Is that next Sunday, or is that early the following week?
Sunday's the last day of the season.
All right, so probably Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they'll start the actual playoffs probably the following weekend.
Yeah. Wow. So 2 weeks till the playoffs.
Till we're knee deep in playoff basketball.
Man, you know, that's something.
Just like win a series.
Yep.
It's been so long.
No doubt.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.